The song is Suitable Replacement. It's from the brand new album Selective Amnesia from our guest, Normal Native Adam Larson, who joins us via Skype from his home in Manhattan. Adam, nice to talk to you again.
Nice to talk to you too.
And congratulations on a brand new album. In the liner notes for the album, you say, accepting the things I can and cannot control has been an ongoing journey. It sounds like you're struggling with some things internally. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the music that's on this record is kind of a musical snapshot of things that I wrote during the past, I guess, 2 years now, but really the last 18 months of my schooling throughout my master's degree. A lot of the time that I was in school up until about the latter half of my master's degree, sometimes I spent an inordinate amount of energy thinking about the wrong type of stuff. And so,
what is the wrong kind of stuff? What do you mean by that?
You know, looking at other people's success and feeling things that were anything other than like admiration or joy. I spent a lot of time beating myself up about, you know, well, why am I not doing this or why am I not doing that? When if I would have just spent that time just practicing and trying to remain positive, I probably would have got more done in the long run. But I guess the way that I dealt with feeling that way was writing this music. And so the music definitely was an outlet for me to express, or I guess deal with that, instead of like quitting, for instance.
Well, you're implying in a sense that you're a little bit impatient and you're picking up on that internally, but you are a very hardworking, you know, and I'm using the word ambitious in a very positive way, person. Where does that come from?
Ever since I was a little kid, I always wanted to have things happen very quickly. And I think that I've also always had like an internal drive to just to want to do well. I'm not sure where it comes from exactly. There's a competitive side to who I am, and I was always present when I played sports. And then academically, I don't know if it's competitive or just like I wanted to keep up with my peers or be at the top of my class that way. That was just something that kind of motivated me, I guess, kept me. You know, there's one like inciting incident that I can remember. I was in kindergarten, I think. I was at Oakdale, and there was the teacher said that, you know, the first one who gets this math problem done correctly gets this autographed picture of the Illinois State basketball team at the time, which had, I can't remember who was on it, but it was enough people to make me really interested. For better or for worse, started, I guess, this like, you know, this drive to like want to get things done early and correct. And so I don't know, maybe that would be like the inciting incident that made me the way I am, but.
So it's your kindergarten teaching that we have to go after here?
Yeah, something like that.
One of the songs on the album you wrote is called McWendell, which is a fusing of the names Donnie McCaslin and Ben Wendell, two of people you say who are huge inspirations for you. Can you briefly tell us who they are and how you wrote the song itself? How is that a reflection of them?
So Donnie McCaslin is a really great modern tenor player who was one of my teachers at Manhattan School of Music for about a year and a half. And Ben Wendell is somebody that I didn't study with in school, somebody who I actually met at IMEA when I was 18. He was there with the guest group at the Allstate Convention, which was Kneebody, and he's a saxophonist with that group. And so I met him almost 7 years ago and kept in touch and took a couple lessons with him outside of school. But something that I really like about their playing is just their complete mastery of the instrument from top to bottom of the horn, specifically just the flexibility they have in the upper register or the altissimo, which is, again, for better or for worse, if you want to be a modern jazz tenor player, you have to have command of that. So the tune that I've written called McWendell is something that I wrote with their mastery of the instrument in mind, and it's a tune that you can't play unless you have a pretty good grasp of the whole instrument. So I tried to write something that would force me to get better at that, and the result was McWendell.
We're listening to songs from the new album titled Selective Amnesia from our guest, Normal Native Adam Larson, who's speaking with us via Skype from his home in Manhattan. This year, you had a chance to travel to Africa for, a little bit over a month. You've been to many other countries and continents in the world. Can you talk about how American jazz is received in those countries or even on those continents?
Yeah, I was in Africa for 5 weeks as a part of the U.S. State Department's American Music Abroad program. By and large, it was very well received. It was very fascinating to be in the birthplace of the rhythmical component, you know, because the rhythm of jazz comes from Africa, so specifically West Africa. So to be in Senegal and Democratic Republic of Congo and Ghana and Benin, it was a very eye-opening experience to not only hear this music, but a large component of the AMA program is to do collaboration. So we would use a couple of my tunes to collaborate with these local musicians and to hear, you know, the native drummers play this fusion of West African drumming with, you know, what we think about being the American jazz art form was pretty incredible.
One more song on the album before I let you go, Adam. The Dope Pope is it's a catchy little title on the album. Can we end it with that song? What's the Dope Pope all about?
In my liner notes, I expressed that not every single song on this record has some kind of deeply personal double meaning. In fact, some of them are, you know, they're joyous and they can be kind of tongue in cheek. And so the Dope Pope, I remember I moved to New York as a freshman and I grew up in a household where we like didn't watch The Simpsons, and it wasn't because my parents were like strict or whatever, just it didn't happen. So like I never really watched too many cartoons growing up, and I was looking for something to do besides practice all day, and one of my really good friends said, "You want to watch an episode of Family Guy?" And I said, "Well, I've never seen that." I said, "Sure." So we watched this episode, and it was my first episode ever, and I found out I couldn't believe that they would just make fun of basically anybody. And the first episode I ever watched, they were poking fun of the Pope, which I thought was just outrageous. I guess that when I came to a tune that I didn't have a title for, that's where the title of the Dope Pope came from.